Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
Would you welcome the honorary elder of St. Charles River Church, Rex Bornman.
Love you, buddy.
I had my hair dyed gray just so I could be called elder. No. Okay. If you're waiting for serious, it doesn't happen that much with me, but I am thrilled to be able to be here with you today. It is exciting to have my wife with me. Because every time I show up without her, I kind of get that, come on. And so, Chris, why don't you just do a, hey, hi, how you doing? She'll be holding court after the meeting this morning, I promise you. Everybody can, that is the Reverend, by the way. Did you know that? She's the Rev. Yes, yes. So actually in this new role that we are involved in right now, we are a team of missionaries, both she and I. And our specific focus, if you haven't heard this, this church is a very gracious supporter. There are many families in this church, numbers of families in this church and individuals who support us personally out of their funds every month to just keep us on the field. That's the only reason we're able to stay on the field and do what we do, is because somebody believes in us enough to put up monthly to keep us there. But we are both tasked with this huge idea. Here's the small ministry that God has called us into in our late years here. We're trying to reach all the nations. All of the nations that are living right now in the United States of America. Because this is the reality. There's such a movement of people from around the world, specifically into the cities and the metropolitan areas in the United States of America. And the truth is that we have people from nations that we cannot send missionaries to. We cannot. If these nations would open tomorrow, I promise you the Assemblies of God would have somebody there in a heartbeat. They would be raising huge money. They would be making great sacrifices to go there and preach the gospel in these Muslim nations, in these various places where the gospel has been restricted. But the reality is that those same people are living right in the neighborhoods in the United States of America. They're right here. They're right here right now. And we have a chance to reach them. And here's the beauty. When you reach someone, especially a first wave immigrant, you're not just reaching them, but you're reaching through them to their families. And really, most of their family members are still in their home countries. And so it's a gateway for us to be able to reach through, not just to build the church in the United States of America, but to build the church around the world. And we're so excited about that. We're just thrilled to be partnered with you. So here's the last of my pitch. We always need more support, of course. And really, here's why. We want to make everything that we do free of charge to the people that we're serving and ministering to. Many of these immigrant pastors especially are working at least one and sometimes two full-time jobs, as well as trying to plant churches and get ministries going. And so everything that we do for them, whether it's a dinner or a seminar weekend or a conference for training or a campground event where we have to have rooms and things, we want to make all of that free of charge to them. We always want that to be free of charge. So our budget includes cash gifts that come from people to help us to pay for some of those things. And for the planting of international churches as well, we want to be able to free up some people from their full-time jobs to be able to work more in the ministry. So these are the needs that we continually have. If you would, somewhere in the lobby, I'm not sure, it's somewhere back there, you'll see a basket with our prayer cards in there. Please stop and get one. As a little treat, there's an attached tea bag or hot chocolate or some such something, so you can actually root through there. All the cards look the same, but the tea bags are a little bit different. So you root through there and find the one you want. There are also some bracelets there that you might take on and just put around your wrist. It's a reminder for you every time you see that to kind of pray for us. It says, every tribe, every nation. How many of you know God's plan is to save every tribe and every nation? He doesn't have favorites. Well, he does. All of us. Amen. He has favorites. Get this. You are one of God's favorites. All right. Well, let me share the word today with you. I have time. I have plenty of time. Pastor Barry has just put it on me to share with you something that I think is just, I always open my heart to Barry when I'm coming here to Pastor Barry and just say, you know, anything that would fit what God is doing at St. Charles River Church, we take very seriously our partnership here and our desire to serve this fellowship as it moves forward into the future. We are excited about that, by the way. The greater things are yet to come. The greater things are still to be done. Not just in the city, but in St. Charles River Church, and specifically in and through your life and family. How many of you have read the scripture enough to know that the last days of the church are supposed to be its best days? The church is not marked by this idea of, oh, I remember the good old days and what once was. The greatest day is tomorrow. The greatest day is what's left of today. What will God lead us into as we move into the future? And this is, we're just excited about that. We're really pleased about our partnership with this fellowship, and we pray for you all the time. But as I was giving thought to this, and I connected with Pastor Barry about it, he said, you know, it would just be, if you don't have anything planned, something along the lines of generosity. And I thought, oh, thank you, God. Because I think this is a huge subject. Generosity is what God has called us to. In fact, generosity is kind of a great word to describe how God is and who God is. He is generous beyond measure. And there are many, many things I want to share with you today. So I'm just going to jump right in, if you don't mind. And I want to pray that the Lord will help us. I don't want to say stuff that doesn't need to be said, and I don't want to not say things that do need to be said. And so, Father, I pray that you'll help us with this. Let the time that we spend right now be one where we don't just hear Rex. We don't just hear the speaker. We don't just read the scripture. But we hear the voice of the Lord God Almighty. This is the voice, the word of the Lord, where you spoke and worlds came into being. Universes were created and responded to the word of the Lord. And so our heart's cry is, in these moments of time, would you speak to us? Speak to each and every one of us. We know that it's not hearing just with our ears, it's hearing with our hearts. It's hearing with the interior part of our lives. And so I pray, oh Lord God, reveal to me and to each one of us who you are and how you are and what you want for us in our lives and in our futures. We believe you for that, and we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Say it with me, generosity.
Generosity.
One more time, generosity.
Generosity.
You notice there's a little subtitle there that's also known as God gives givers gifts to give. I know that's terrible grammar, but that's great truth.
Yeah.
Speaking of great truth, I just thought about that because it's one of my quotes. It's one of the quotes that I'm actually known for, and I was thinking about just kind of introducing this, and I thought, who's known for famous quotes? And you know what? The one that really occurred to me was Ben Franklin. Have you ever read anything of Ben Franklin's stuff? The quotes? You got to hear these. Here's a few of them. And this is Ben, not me. Either write something worth reading or do something worth writing. Yeah. Exactly. That's what I wowed that one myself. Either write something worth reading or do something worth writing. Here's another good Ben Franklin one. He must have been a rascal, Ben Franklin. But here's what he says. Three may keep a secret if two of them are dead. Isn't that great? Three may keep a secret if two of them are dead. Here's one that really speaks to the times in which he lived. They who give up essential liberty to obtain a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety. Mm. Yeah, he would move a bunch of people with these words. Here's another one that he put out there, and I just love this one because it has to do with what we want to do. We want to learn together. We want to grow together in the faith. He said, if you'll tell me, I'll forget. If you'll teach me, I may remember. But if you involve me, I will surely learn. Mm. Involve me. See, that's the beauty. When the Lord speaks to us, he doesn't just speak to us so we can say, oh, I got that. Spiritual maturity isn't being able to parrot the truth. I know everything there is to know about God. Yeah, but do you know him? Do you know him in a way that changes your behaviors, changes your attitudes, changes your words and your relationships, marks you in your private thought lives, in your recreational choices? This is the way the word of the Lord is supposed to work in our lives. We're involved. We become a part of who he is. He takes us into himself. We become members of the body of Christ. And so this is the reality that I want to share with you today. One of my quotes that I'm known for, in fact, when we left one of the churches that we pastored in the North Baltimore area, there was this beautiful young couple, military couple, that was so involved with the church. They are still partners of ours. They support our ministry as well. Beautiful people. But Stephanie Gamble made us this little pillow, this little throw pillow, and on it was stitched this phrase, God gives givers gifts to give. Say it with me. God gives givers gifts to give. I want you to understand that generosity is an absolute essential if you really claim to have a relationship with the great God of heaven. If you really claim that you know God and you have a personal relationship with him and you are not living a generous life, you're lying to yourself. As well as to, well, you're not really much lying to others, because they all go, if that's what Christianity is, that selfish sort, I don't want anything to do with it. Real Christianity, real godliness, is incredibly generous. God is a giver. God is a lover of humankind. And he is gracious beyond measure in his giving. And we'll look at that in the scripture today. Selfishness is a sign of sin. Say it again so you get this. Generosity, this generous spirit, comes from the Lord. Selfishness is what sin looks like. In fact, the mother of all sin is selfness. That's why the picture is, I got a stiff neck. I got a hard heart. I got this attitude. I'm going to do what I want to do. Listen, not with God, you're not going to. Have it your way. Maybe at Burger King you can get away with that. But with the King of Kings, that doesn't work. You don't get to have it your way. It is his way. It is his way. But his way is this beautiful way of love and grace and generosity and kindness and mercy and goodness. God's way is what we really have been created to walk in. And so I just want to encourage you that this generosity is not a goal to be achieved. It's not a work to be done. It's not a proof to be made. It's a life to be experienced. And this life comes from the heart of God himself. This generosity is a part of his love flowing into and through your own life and my own life. And so God gives givers gifts to give. Generosity begins with God. I want to read some scripture to you that is just beautiful. I love these scriptures. I'm going to start with Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number, chapter 3 and verse number 16. Here's what it says. I pray that out of God's glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I also pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know the love that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Listen to these scriptures. They speak of a miserliness. They speak of, a limited resource. Oh, no. They speak of magnificence. They speak of fullness. They speak of generosity. Out of the abundance of God's richness, he has a plan for you. To do what? To fill you with the whole thing. To fill you with all the fullness of God. To help you understand how deep, how wide, how long, how high, how powerful, how real, how amazing, how far-reaching is this love of God. It's a beautiful thing. And then it says in verse number 20, I love this one, now to the one, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. Amen. It's such a powerful word. You got to get this. Out of God's incredible riches in Christ Jesus. Generosity begins with God. It just does. He is generous. I want a relationship with a God who's stingy. Pick one. All the gods of the world are stingy. All the gods of creation, of man's creation, are stingy, mean-spirited, nasty. Have you ever seen a happy-faced God on a totem? Really, have you ever seen a God going, I really like you. I just want to bless you. No, they're mean. They're scowling. It's like, ooh, we got to be afraid of these gods. That's because of the creation of frightened people. But our God, the God, the only true God, is generous and loving and gracious beyond measure. And out of his abundant, glorious riches, he gives. He gives because he loves. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, so that the few, the qualified, the proud, the Marines, no. So that whosoever will might be saved. Hallelujah. This is generous. This is incredible. This is magnanimous is a big word for it. But this is how God is. He lives this generous life. This is the way he has always been. It is out of his glorious riches that God loves. And because God loves, God gives. And God gives generously. I love this phrase. It says here in the New International Version, in verse number, which one was it there? To him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. Now, where does that start? Can I just ask you? It starts with your imagination. It starts with you thinking, okay, if God really loved me and wanted to do something amazing for me, this is the God of heaven who speaks worlds into being. This is a God who didn't consult an architect when he built the universe. He didn't need a rocket scientist. He doesn't need a rocket. He speaks, and worlds come into being. This is the God who can do anything. So, what do you think? What do you imagine? What do you, come on. What might you ask for? What might you believe for? What might you be inspired to think that God could do? That's the ask or imagine part. That's where you start. But here's what it says. In the King James, it's an interesting little rendering. It says, He is able to do exceeding abundantly above. One adjective, one superlative wouldn't do. Above wasn't enough. abundantly above had to be added. And then they had to magnify that one to exceeding abundantly above. You've got to get this picture. In the original language, it's hooper ek parasal. And what it means is, parasal is just this, it's that glorious fullness. It's that blessed overrunning. It's that place where you're just going, in the words of our modern commercial, it just doesn't get any better than this. That's the way you would feel at parasal. Whew, this is awesome. I couldn't imagine more. This is amazing. And then God says, watch this. And he takes it above. That's ek. But then he says, you know, that's really not enough. That's not really like me. So let me show you what's like me. Hooper, ek, parasal. Hyper is the word we get out of that. Ah! Some of you think I am. Some of you have tried to mind children who are. Ah! It's this generosity gone mad. This generosity that is now in the crazy levels of immeasurably beyond anything that you could ask or think. This is not a stingy God. This is not a miserly God. This is the God with whom we deal. Hallelujah. Generosity starts with God. It's who he is. It's how he is. He is that God who does exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to his power working inside of us. So what do we do? What do we do? If we believe in this God, if we really have a relationship with this God, what's the result of that relationship? What does it look like? Well, it says it here in chapter 4, verse 1. I urge you then to live a life worthy of the calling that you've received. Live like people who have been filled with the generosity of God. Live like people who've been filled with the love of Christ. You didn't earn it. You didn't pay for it. You didn't qualify for it. He just gave it to you. And he didn't just give it to you. He gave you more than you could handle. And then he loads more on you, so that you keep dropping it by the way. Why? Because he daily, that's what the Bible says, and it's a picture. God bless, he blesses us. He daily loads us with benefits. Amen. I'm loaded. Amen. Amen. And every bad thought you ever had, I want you to just eliminate. We're loaded with the benefits of God. His graciousness, his blessings, his kindness, his love, his mercy, his grace, his life is upon us and in us. And so what should we do? We should live like that. We should live lives that are worthy of that kind of calling. Live lives that actually bespeak this blessedness that is in us. So what do? Well, we do what he does. We love. Because he's loved us first. Amen. That's the one commandment. Can you count to one? This is the new commandment I give you, that you love one another. But you don't have to invent it. You don't have to make it up. You don't have to fake it till you get it. You can love like I love you. So the same thing you receive, you can recycle in the name of the Lord. In fact, it says freely you receive, freely you should. Ah, there's that word. Amen. Because that's what love looks like. Love looks like giving and serving, and God gives givers gifts to give. Amen. We receive, and so we start to recycle these things. And here's the beauty of it. When you start to recycle it, you would think if it was an earthly resource, you would give it and you would lose it by giving it. But you don't lose it by giving it. You actually gain more. Why? Because as soon as you pour it out, God pours more in. And he pours in more than you poured out. He gives givers gifts to give. You have to get that. There are people who, they just believe this lie. And I've heard this claimed over years. Well, if I ever have enough, I'll be a great giver. Pray for me that I hit the lottery, Pastor. I just want to tell you, that's a poor choice for a retirement plan and for a giving plan. Because here's the real truth. if you don't give from what you have, you will not give from what you get. Think it through. If you do not give from what you already have, you will not give from what you get. So what does God call us to? He calls us to live generously like He does. Which means what? Love everybody. Love them, love them, love them. Say, I don't even like them. Come on, tell the truth. There's people in your neighborhood you don't like. Well, here's the cure. God doesn't not like them. That is a double negative. It means He does love them. See, that's what you're going to have to deal with. So what's the dealing going to sound like? He's going to say, well, I don't even want to like them. And God says, okay, it's all right. But you can't have any of my richness and fullness because that's not the way I work. I thought you wanted me in your life. Well, I do. Well, that means I'm going to flow through you to love them. Oh, God, bless them. Now, I've read the Bible. It says, pray for your enemies. Oh, God, kill them. Smite them. At least harm them. At least cause them some disease, some dis-ease, some sense of, so that they get saved. And that's your best virtuous moment. That's not good enough with the great, generous, loving God of heaven. Amen. God wants you to actually be filled with His love for them. And the simple path to being filled with His love for others is to deny your selfishness. Deny your need for revenge. Deny that attitude that you've developed. Lay it down. And let God fill you. Because He will fill you. He'll fill you more than you imagine. He'll fill you above what you can imagine. He'll fill you abundantly above. He will fill you exceeding abundantly above. But you've got to ask and you've got to think. You've got to start somewhere. And that's a great place for you to be able to start. So God gives givers gifts to give. So what do? Well, we love like He does. We give like He does. And so what do we give? It's right here in chapter 4. And I don't want to take the time to read every verse to you, but we give grace, love, and peace to everybody. Really, that's what it says in the verses 2 and 3. Read through there. We just go about giving grace. We give mercy to people. We give kindness to people. We don't give them scowls and attitudes. We give them grace and blessing. Life and love, encouragement. Shame on you. We've specialized in stupidity in the church over years. Did that go by too quickly for some of you? We want to tell them stuff. And so the guy who's fallen off of a 4-story building and is laying crumpled on the sidewalk, we run up and dutifully say, you shouldn't stand so close to the edge. Well, sweetie, you're a little late. Quite frankly, I figured that out about halfway down. Oops. In fact, it didn't take me, just when gravity grabbed me, I said, oh no. And among the thoughts that fleeted through my head before the brick, it was, I shouldn't have stood so close to the edge. Exactly. What are you supposed to do? You're supposed to come and help and love and serve broken, wounded, beaten, defeated, bound, needy people. What do they need? They need grace. They need love. They need mercy. They need peace givers. Amen. This is what it says. That's what we give. We give Jesus to people. We give grace and peace and hope and life. We also give ourselves. And this is interesting. It's right in the middle of this chapter 4 as well. We give ourselves to both ministry and maturity. You know what generosity looks like? It looks like getting involved. When a plea is made for something, you're there. When we need workers to do something, you're there. Why? Because you're a functioning part of the body of Christ. You are a part of what's going on. You're not a sideliner. You're not a critic who stands in the corner and gauges and judges. You're a part of the body of Christ. You're a member in specific. And what are you there for? You're there to add to the ministry of the body of Christ. We give ourselves to ministry. It's right there in the middle of the chapter. These gifts that God gives are what? They're for the abundant blessing of the Lord in everybody. There's something that is provided by everybody in the body of Christ. I love these verses. Look at chapter 4, verse 14 through 16. Let me just quickly read it to you, if you don't mind. Here's that speaking the truth in love, we can grow up into Him in all things. There's the maturity part. We grow up into Him in all things. That is Christ. And from Him, the whole body, from Him, everybody, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Isn't that awesome? As each part does its work. That's ministry. What has God called you to do? He's called you to love everybody, but He's called you to serve somebody. He's called you to love everybody, but He's also called you to serve somebody and somewhere. And what do? We do that with all our hearts. We do that with joy. We do that with energy. We do that with abundance. We do that with an overflowing thing. Why? Because it's for the Lord. It's for the glory of God. So we give grace to everybody, but we give ourselves to the ministry and to a maturing process. Here's what this maturing process looks like. You got to get this. This is not in the scripture, but this is, I want this to be in your heart and your spirit from here on out. This is where selfish takers become servant givers. This is the place, this is the maturing factor where selfish takers, you'll see this when it talks about the kind of people that we used to be. We used to be the kind of people who never had enough. We could never get enough. We could never control enough. We could never be respected enough. We always had to be on that edge and pushing all the time because we had this gap, this great need inside of our lives. And so we were voracious about more. It is best described in the words of the then richest man in the world. They asked John Paul Getty. When he finally hit the level of being the richest man on the planet, this was years ago, they said to him, tell us, what's the most important million you've ever made? And here's what he said, the next one. The next one. What's he saying? He's saying, this is not enough. I want just a little more. Just a little more, just a little more. There's that scripture, you'll see it in here, a continual lust for more. A continual lust for more. This is what marks the ungodly and the immature. And so we move away from being selfish takers, we move into being servant givers. Because, and here's a good verse for it, verse number 28, real quickly. He who has been stealing, that's the person who wants more. He doesn't want just what he has, he wants yours. So he takes yours. The one who's been stealing now steals no longer. Instead, they work and they do something useful with their own hands so that they might have something to give. Do you get that? To give to the people who are in need. This is how the Spirit of God works inside of our lives. That's number, verse number, that's not the one. 28. 28. There it is. Anyone who's been stealing must steal no longer. Work doing something useful with their own hands so that they might have something to give. You go from being the selfish taker who steals other people's stuff to being a person who works to produce, not so you can have it, but so that you can give to the people who are in need. You could give God a hand for that. That is the generosity. And then finally, verse number 32, and we'll finish with chapter 5, verse 2. Start with Ephesians 4:32. And if it's up here on the screen, yeah, let's read it out loud. Everybody read it out loud. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved, do we have the next verse? 5:1, we need to keep up with this. 5:1 and 2 as well. 5:1, what's that? It won't all pop up there? Don't you hate when those machines do that to you? Yeah, but you give it grace. Let me read it to you. Here's what it says in chapter 5, verse 1. Be imitators of God. Be imitators of God. Therefore, as dearly loved children, live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. What is that word? It's to live and love as generously as God does. Why? Because I know that God gives givers gifts to give. There's the person who hoards and never has. Solomon understood it. There's a person who hoards. They connive, they scheme, they plan, and they never have enough. And then there's this other person. It's a mysterious thing to me. Here's what he said. It's mysterious to me. But these people are generous beyond measure. They give everything they've got, and they never lack anything. They give abundance. They love everybody, and yet there's more love in their hearts. Doesn't mean that everybody responds well to their love. Doesn't mean that everybody is generous in response to them. Some people use them and abuse them. But they just keep putting themselves out there. Why? Because they live like God lives. They love like God loves. They give like God gives. What do we say about them? We say they are exceeding abundantly. Unnerving. Amen. Because the example of them, if anybody can do it, everybody can do it. This is the reality. If anybody can do it, everybody can do it. There's two chapters in 2 Corinthians, chapter 8 and chapter 9, that are devoted to offerings and giving and generosity. You should read those sometime. I'm not going to take the time to read them today. But you should read them. Because here's what Paul is saying. He's writing to these Corinthian Christians who lived in a fairly wealthy part of the world, in Achaia, the southern part of Greece. The northern part of Greece was called Macedonia, but the southern part was Achaia. And they lived in this fairly wealthy city, and they were fairly wealthy people, and they had fairly well-to-do jobs, and they had means. And he was responding to their pledge of an offering, their pledge of a giving, of a generous offering. And so he was sending people to make sure that it was going to be gotten together before he got there. It's a very practical two chapters, chapter 8, chapter 9, 2 Corinthians. But here's what he says. You know, I've been telling everybody about the generosity that God's giving to you guys. And the churches in Macedonia, they believed it. And these are the churches in Macedonia, in Philippi, in Berea, in Thessalonica. These people don't have wealth. They have poverty. In fact, they're the poorest people I've ever met. This is the way he says it about them. Out of their extreme poverty, out of their deep afflictions, something rose up. And it was abundant generosity. And so they gave. They pled with us to give. They begged us to give. This is the kind of church where you walked in and you said, oh, please let me give you an offering. But they begged to be able to give. And it wasn't much, but it was everything they had and beyond. Why? Because generosity had filled their hearts and their spirits in the name of the Lord God. There's a song. I'm not going to have us sing it today because my time is up, but it's a beautiful song. Look it up sometime online. It's called He Giveth More Grace. It's a great old hymn because it was written by a lady who lived in the late 1800s, died in, I believe it was 1934. And she died a horrible death, disfigured, maimed, just crippled in every possible way. But that was because she lived her whole life that way. From her earliest years, she was afflicted with this congenital disease in her bones and her joints. And so she lived pretty much every day of her life. Annie Flint was her name. Annie Johnson Flint. And she was a devout believer. She received things from the Lord. And here's what she decided. She decided early on she would express herself in poetry. Can you imagine trying to write poetry with this kind of pain, with this kind of disease in your joints? And she wrote this tremendous song. I'm giving you a little background so you get the idea of the song. I love this song. It's called He Giveth More Grace. I'll just read you the words to it. I'll tell you the words to it. He giveth more grace as the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength as the labors increase. To added affliction, he addeth his mercies. To multiplied trials, his multiplying peace. For his love has no limits. His grace has no measure. His power has no boundaries known unto man. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and he giveth and he giveth again. When we have exhausted our store of endurance and our strength is gone before the day is half done, when we've reached the end of our hoarded resources, then our Father's full giving has just only begun. For his love has no limits. His grace has no measure. His power has no boundaries known unto man. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again. Thank you.
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri, 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.